B-Pod Studios.
None at 5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, Town Fair Tire Studio. Joe Murray in studio with us. And by the way, John, did you see the one of the heads of, I think it's a PR over at Bryant?
Yes.
Did you see that they tweeted you?
Miles, a friend of mine. Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, he said, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get credentials for that mustache.
Yes.
Photo out. There are some, I stopped retweeting because it was just too many great ones. But if you just want to just watch, read a ton of people piling on John Wallach and his mustache, which, by the way, I think is fantastic. It is a respectable mustache. I mean, that is a full-on Magnum P.I.
Yep.
flavor saver. That there is
Rich,
no
it's a Reno 911. He's like a
It is.
With the hat on and the glasses, he looks like somebody from like a show like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I see sometimes people who grow a mustache for Movember, and I'm like, oh, you are? it just looks like a little like their lip is dirty. No, you have a full on.
Yeah, but I mean, November would have been over before I could create that. I mean, it would have taken me into December to get that.
I don't know, with the hat on, Rich, it kind of reminds me of when Better Call Saul, when they show the flash forwards.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
he like disappears and he's working at the mall there.
Yep. Yeah,
you look like somebody that is being put in witness protection
program. Yeah.
In that thing. I mean, it is creepy. And I don't know what it is about the mustache, and I don't know at what point it just turned from being something that was, you know, everyone had and macho to being, you know, keep this person away from my child.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that this is kind of weird. This is so random. I a couple years ago, I was just trying to find something that my kids could watch, and I was like, oh, what about Inspector Gadget? Like these old Inspector Gadget cartoons. Like, you know, something I grew up on, sure. And I went back, and you can find them all online. I went to season one. Let's go. Season one, episode one. And I turned on them. Like, hang on, that's not Inspector Gadget, because Inspector Gadget for an episode had a mustache.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, I had
Matter
no
fact,
idea.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, what happened to Inspector Gadget? And I guess that after they made the first, I think it was two episodes, they had those, you know, they have the kids go in the room with the little meters to find out what that they like, what they don't like. They did not like Inspector Gadget's mustache. Like, it creeped them out to the point where they got rid of it by the third episode. Like, they were so, children can sense evil, and apparently the mustache freaked them out so much that they got rid of it, and of course, from there on out, he's been mustache free. And you can Google it. I mean, where did this come from?
I had no idea.
Which is strange because isn't one of the most beloved characters for children right now a Mario? And Mario has like you know a total kick ass mustache.
That's right.
I'm not quite sure why like you can't be the one to turn the tide.
And more than one response I've gotten is I look like Mario's aged grandfather.
Look at Luigi's grandfather.
Luigi's grandfather. Yeah, that's it.
So what's it? Wallach has an absolute pickle tickler on his face. It's a term I have not heard, but I do enjoy the alliteration. Real quick, I'm so all over the place, but I just a couple minutes ago I was looking at my TV and I love Rob Ninkovich. He was just on TV and crapping. Put it this way, he was ranking and putting in what he said was not controversial. But the fact that he said it was an awesome, amazing troll job, and I applaud him. He was talking about the AFC North. And he goes, you know, if I had to put in order the top four quarterbacks and rank them, I would go, obviously, Lamar Jackson first. I would go Ben Roethlisberger second. You know, I'd put Joe Burrow third. And, you know, last, I'd have to put Baker Mayfield. And to that, it opened up a conversation. And then Dominique Foxworth was like, you know, now that you mentioned, if I had to rank it, and he did it the exact same way. And what it did was just set off a chain reaction of all the analysts putting Baker Mayfield dead last in that division.
Oh, I disagree with that.
You think Baker Mayfield? Well,
yeah,
okay,
I think
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Yeah,
we don't know. But I mean, we don't know. But it's not a highly controversial opinion. But just the fact that it's now become okay to pile on to Baker Mayfield.
Watch, this will be the year he puts it together.
Every single year, we talked about this yesterday, but the Bears are going to be good this year, and the Browns are going to be good because they had so much expectations a year ago. They always bounce
Do the Browns have the offensive line? See, I haven't looked. Browns have not had the offensive line the last 2 years.
Yeah, they got better on the offensive line.
All the analysts, and Rich, you remember this, and I think Will Brinson was the first one to bring it up. When we mentioned Baker Mayfield in his second year, And he was saying, I don't understand why the Browns are the cool team. The Browns' offensive line is a dumpster fire.
Well, they got Wills in the draft, their first-round pick this year, so I think he should help out there. Austin Hooper is going to help him out at tight end. He can block a little bit in passing catch. No, the Browns will be a better team. That team had a terrible coach.
If
Let's
only
face
to
it.
See how Fred Tucher reacts, we need the Browns to win 9
but
this
year.
But
the thing is about Baker Mayfield is that I want him to be great. Because I want a villain in the NFL.
The NFL needs one of these guys. I agree.
I want someone who's super cocky and is just one of these guys that's easy to hate, but you have to be good to be a super villain. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, the NBA's got plenty of them, especially as a Celtics fan. There's a lot of them. I mean, LeBron is the ultimate villain. Like, we all hate him. The way he's,
Giannis is turning into that. Well, he's likable, but, yeah.
But see, the thing is Giannis is likable. And it's one thing to just be dominant and you go, man, that guy's so good. But when you're like cocky the way LeBron is and self-centered and you're like unbelievable, the way that, what was it, game 6 in 2000, what year was that, 12, where he just broke your heart?
LeBron
had that moment where
that game, yes,
he just killed you. The Celtics were up 3-2 and LeBron just came back in game 6 and said F you, and that was the moment that he became. Like, I think that was the moment. Like, if you trace everything back in the documentary, that's not going to be anywhere near as good as the Jordan one. They're going to show that game, and everyone's going to say that's when he became like unstoppable. And I remember it. And as a Celtics fan, I hate him for it. And it was kind of a great moment because now I had my apex, a number one, I hate you player in the NBA. And the NFL doesn't really have that for me. There isn't anybody, and it's not to their, I mean, listen, the NFL's entertaining enough. It's not like baseball. Like, you've got a lot of great storylines and stuff, but you're missing the NWO, aren't you there, Joe Murray? You're missing a good heel, aren't we?
We do need, yeah. I mean, if you look around the league, like who is there? I mean, I don't know if Baker Mayfield is that guy, though.
It was Cam Newton after the Super Bowl. You know, he insulted that female reporter. He didn't jump on the fumble and then didn't speak to the media after the Super Bowl was over. And there was kind of that buzz around him.
But up to that point, John, he was...
Oh, he was a golden child for a long time. But, I mean, you were talking about a player that was really, really good that fans love to hate, and that was Cam Newton for a little while. But you're right. There hasn't been one constant.
Miles Garrett might turn into that guy. I don't know.
But again, we're kind of in the middle of that. No one's quite sure which way to go yet on him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, who's a villain throughout the league?
And think about in the division, there should be somebody, and there's not.
Stephon Diggs might be one that could be in the AFC East, you know? A guy that goes to Buffalo could really put them over the top.
Especially when Josh Allen overthrows him about 4 times.
But he could blow that whole thing up.
That's true.
Antonio Brown was one, right?
But that's a villain if you're a Bills fan. You know, if you're like a Patriots fan, you know, why do you... Because that team finds a way to implode from the inside out.
And it wasn't Antonio Brown because, and again, this speaks to the brilliance of Mike Tomlin, no one had any idea Antonio Brown was like this for the better part of a decade. we only found that out when he went to Oakland. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, and that he was gone too quick.
I just got a great tweet. Someone said, hey, guys, Tom Brady is that player.
Ooh.
Yeah, but Brady's not an ass. Not really. Wow.
There's some people who will disagree with you.
No. He wasn't like a guy that went out of his way to like. He didn't get in front of a microphone and say, "I'm feeling dangerous today." He didn't do that.
But you don't specifically need that. But you can have someone who's kind of douchey.
How about Ben Roethlisberger?
No,
we're not talking about people who've done bad things.
A lot of people have done bad things.
Ben Roethlisberger's not like, I mean, I don't really, but he's taken a hit
like competitively. You know what I mean? Like how long has it been since he's been the guy who broke your heart?
You need a guy that's really, really good to be really, really nasty for a really long time. Mayfield, and I agree with Rich, Mayfield has that possibility in him.
So Tom Brady, you know, people are just now, it's amazing how people in New England are starting to, just for the first time, feel what everybody outside of New England has thought of Tom Brady. You know, he's not only unbelievable, and he's exactly what I'm talking about. He's like the LeBron James type of, you know, talent where he's unstoppable at times. But he's also... he does some things that just would drive you crazy, that whether it's, you know, justified or not. I mean, like, you know, the guest starring on Entourage and just, you know, being Mr. Perfect and his, you know, the powder and stuff like that. Like, to me, I'll always be a fan of Tom Brady. I will. He'll drive me crazy sometimes. But, like, I root for him when he's down in Tampa Bay. But I understand why all of a sudden people are now going to be pissed off and want to root against him, because you are now where everyone else has been for the last however many years, and he's not your guy anymore, and you're pissed. And you may, and if you're yelling, if you're blaming him for leaving here to go somewhere else and abandoning the team, then that's wrong. That's not why you should hate the guy, because the team didn't want him. But he is playing on a different team, and it's easy for you to take your rose-colored glasses off now and see all the faults, and that seems to be what people are doing. So that's not a bad one. Maybe he's going to be the guy. Especially if he becomes successful and the Patriots crumble, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it does, you know, how easy is it going to be for people around here to hate you? Oh, someone said Travis Kelce. That's a pretty good one.
Oh,
Kelsey's a massive douche. And I can't, that guy, I mean, he's a gamer and he's a good player and he's really good.
Tyreek
and
Hill, I mean, that maybe just the Chiefs in general. I know Mahomes is very likable.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hate Mahomes. Like, yeah. He's a guy you can't hate.
Tyreek Hill is good, but he's not that guy. He's not good enough.
Kelsey is really good.
Of the best two tight ends in football.
But his position almost doesn't lend him to be that guy. You know, like a tight end.
He's trying really hard to be that guy.
Yeah. Somebody said Brady did go after the Ravens in 2014, saying maybe they should learn the rules, which eventually triggered the Deflategate nonsense, made him a villain to Ravens fans. Well, I mean, you could do that. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is up there, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's gotten to the point where we can all, like, turn on that guy. I mean, somebody said he skipped his grandfather's funeral because of a petty family situation. That's one of those things where I'm not going to use that. Everyone's got
that.
Weird stuff going on in their family. And, you know, listen, it doesn't look good, but that's not something I'm going to kill him for. It's the stuff that he says on and off the field and people he throws under the bus and the way he's a complete jerk to his insurance agent.
I'll be honest with you. The insurance agent thing. No, I actually kind of back Aaron Rodgers. Like, what they've done to him in Green Bay, like, yeah. I don't think that's a good situation for a guy who's a NFL caliber MVP and one of the best players in the league. Like, they didn't draft a wide receiver this year for him.
No, they drafted his replacement and a guy to hand the football to.
Yeah, like, they don't need Dillon from BC to run the football when they're the best running back in football last
AJ
year.
AJ Dillon is a guy who carries the ball 40 times a game. That's what he did at Boston College for a few years. They got that guy to pound.
And they already
pound
had
it.
Jones, who
I know.
Led the league in touchdowns.
I know. So they got help for the running game and his replacement in the first two rounds.
I just think that last year when he came out with, you know, it was like the first, they hadn't even played a game yet. It was during camp. And Aaron Rodgers was already throwing his brand new coach under the bus. Yeah. Like, I was like, all right, dude, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
That's why I'm rooting for Matt McCarthy in Dallas this year. You know,
Mike McCarthy.
I feel like him leaving.
You're for Matt too.
Yeah. Why did I say Matt?
Matt's a good guy.
Props to Matt. Yeah. But yeah, maybe I think he'll help Dallas, and maybe in spite of Aaron Rodgers, so maybe it'll make Rodgers more of a villain.
All right. Well, I just want to thank Rob Ninkovich for spreading the good word. I thought that was fantastic. It's something that almost didn't need to be said. It's not even highly controversial. But just the fact that he got a conversation going about how Baker Mayfield is truly the worst quarterback in that division was A-okay by me. Just do everything you can to piss that guy off. I'm fine with that. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
.985 a sports hub. It is Thatcher and Rich. Let me see what Brendan's got going on here. Line one. Brendan, what's up, man? You're on Thatcher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey. First off, I just want to thank you for making me laugh every day, school and work day, since 2006. I appreciate it now more than ever.
Thanks, sir.
I got a bone to pick with you guys. You have been picking on my favorite band, 311, for about a decade now. And I would like to just make a case for why I think they're unfairly treated.
Okay. So, tell me why 311 are indeed super-duper cool.
All right. One, they've been around for 30 years with all original members. They've already outlasted 99% of the bands that started when they did. They've been making consistently great and positive music since that time. They put on the best concert I've ever seen in my life.
I think you're over two already. All right, so what was the third one?
I've seen Springsteen, Seeger, Roger Waters. I've seen all the greats. The best concerts I've ever seen in my life have all been put on by 311.
Hang on, man. Stop. Listen. Okay. Before you continue, I've said right here on this show that my guilty pleasure album that I listen to is the 311 Music album. 311 Music is one of those albums that it's tough to be in a bad mood when I listen to. That's their first one that they came out with. It just reminds me of summer. It's tough to not like. The lyrics are mind-numbingly stupid. Like, really, really stupid. There's a line that goes, "Everything I eat is from the earth, right? I am what I eat, straight up earth, right?" I mean, that should just be in the awful lyric hall of fame. And Fred's right. They try to talk Jamaican. They're from Omaha or wherever they're from. And it's like, I also give you that they're pretty good live. Like, when I see them, chill. When I see them, part of me is like, okay, you know, I understand. And I've seen them a lot. And back in the day, I saw them a lot. But you're going to stand here and tell me with a straight face that they're better live than Roger Waters, who will perform The Wall in its entirety with all of the stage lights and some of the most epic music of all time.
One of the best shows I've ever been to. I saw him at Fenway.
You're going to stand here and tell me that 311 on the Sound System tour in 1997 was a better concert than Roger Waters performing The Wall?
No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that their three-day Vegas show that they just put on in March, right before this pandemic hit, they played 102 songs in three nights. I enjoyed that far more than I did seeing Roger Waters back at the Garden 2 years ago. That's okay. All I'm saying. And they put out Mosaic in 2017, which I think is an incredible album. I really think you should give that a listen. Even if you don't want to take my word for it, listen to the NPR interview on them.
I'm not going to do that, but listen, to each their own. I've never been one to say, I am one to say that, to be quite honest, but I 311, and you know the other thing too, they're actually really nice guys. They're good guys. Every time I've talked to those guys and I've interviewed them a bunch, they're very nice guys. But I mean, admit that that's corny. Mm. But come on, admit that that right there is corny as hell.
I know, but you're picking one song out of 13 albums they've put out.
I can keep going. See? My sound clip thing isn't working, so Mike, just fire away. Come on. I mean, it starts with
you're using the same three clips you've been using for 10 years. Come on,
keep going. Keep going.
You got the come on, original. You got the come on, original.
Hang on. What does he say there, Mike? Play it again.
What's that?
Mike, play that clip again. Why? I mean, come on. You're from Omaha, and you're talking, and you're sick of this. I mean, listen, we all know this is, of course, the worst way to open a song.
The message like stay positive and love your life is very needed right now in the world.
But you have to admit that it's corny. Admit that it's corny. And I admit that I like corny movies. I admit that the Fast and Furious franchise makes the hair on my arm stand up. Like, that is a stupid, stupid franchise. And I admit it, but I love it. So admit that at least that's corny.
Yeah, I'll admit some of their songs are corny, but they also hit some really, really important areas. I lost my little sister to suicide, and the song Beyond the Gray Sky, you listen to that, that covers what you're going to feel going through something like that better than anything else. So they do cover some things that are pretty deep. I know they got some corny stuff, but if you actually listen through their whole catalog, that's all I'm saying, that there is some really good hidden gems in there. And if you want to pick on a lame white reggae band, pick on the Dirty Heads. They sound terrible live. None of them can sing. That's a band to pick on.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm sorry about your – that's awful. I obviously am very sorry about that. By the way, if you like the 311, I'll give you a recommendation. How about that? There is a band that had a one-hit wonder, but they're better than this. They toured – first time I ever saw them was opening for 311 on the Grassroots Tour, but they were a band that was legitimately good. They're called The Urge. So if you are into 311 and that kind of thing, go check out The Urge's early stuff. You will love it. And listen, everyone's got a band that they're into, whether they know they're corny or not. God knows I am. But you and I will agree to disagree on the corniness of some of their lyrics, but I'm glad it's meant something to you. And I appreciate you coming here defending you came in here with a nice argument. You're the Stephen A. Smith of 311 defenses.
Who would you put them up against, though? Like, I'm just thinking of other bands from that era. Like, I don't want to compare. Like, you guys talk about Red Hot Chili Peppers a lot, and obviously, like, sometimes you guys talk bad about the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, real quick, just to make it clear, I think that Blood Sugar Sex Magik and Back, and before that, I think that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are one of the greatest bands on the planet. Like, there was a time where I thought that when Mother's Milk came out, they were like a perfect band. Everything after that, and unfortunately, it's when they started to hook up with Rick Rubin.
Yeah,
they went downhill. And
see, I like the scar tissue stuff, but it's fine. Ooh. If you like the rock and all that, that's their, you know, that's definitely their wheelhouse. What about Sublime?
I'm not a fan of Sublime, but I get why people like them. Like I think it's corny too, but I understand why people like them. Like, that's one of those bands that I accept. It's like Bruce Springsteen. I know why people like him. I can't stand him.
Yeah. If I can give out a recommendation, I watched this on Netflix this week, but it's called L.A. Originals. It's on Netflix, and it's about the cartoon, the tattoo artist for all those bands of the 90s. I think he did the Sublime cover. I'm not sure. But if you get a chance, Rich, it's outstanding. Takes you away from the Cypress Hills days all the way to Eminem and on. But it's called L.A. Originals. It's about 90 minutes, but it gets you into the whole hip-hop scene, even rock music. Travis Barker, every tattoo Travis Barker had was made
for him. And there's a lot of them, too. Jesus.
Outstanding if you get a chance to watch the documentary.
Somebody said, you should ask 311 guy if you steal rollerblades. All right, come on. That's not true.
He actually compared that band to Roger Waters at the Garden. I was at that show, the Roger Waters show at the Garden. I cannot believe he fixed his mouth to say that.
My God,
David Pasternak, not a fan of 311.
Once again, I can't play my clip. My computer's locked up. But if David Pasternak was out there, he'd probably have something to say about 311. I mean, he's a huge fan of. I can't play it. Pasta dot Pasta dash amp 2. I'll have to reset this thing. Someone says, I agree with 311 guy. Blows U2 or the freaking Descendants away. Hey, I have said, and I'm a huge U2 fan, as big of a U2 fan as you can get, I understand why people hate U2 and they think Bono is a... It's like defending Tom Brady around here. Like, you get why people hate him, but I don't care. I've been a fan for years. I even love their new stuff almost as much as their older stuff. So I know Dan O'Brien back there is pumping his fist as well.
Whoa! The color of your energy. Whoa. Amber is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
Yes. Nope. Somebody said, I'll admit my taste in music is questionable, so it definitely does not help 311 guy's argument that I use those same points to say that Al Yankovic is the best. Hashtag amazing live show.
Rich, I always wanted to know, what's your take on Weezer?
I love him. Well, no. Okay. I think they made two perfect albums. I think the Blue album is perfect.
Yeah,
like, that's
great.
One of those where there's not one bad track front to back. I think Pinkerton is overrated.
Yeah,
that's this
too.
Follow-up one. I'm not a fan of the sloppy production on that. And then they got back to, with Rick Ocasek from the Cars for the third album, made the Green album, another perfect album, front to back. Blue album, Green album, it doesn't get better than that.
Agreed.
After that, they sprinkled in a couple good ones, but just because of that alone, I respect the band Weezer.
I like
as corny
rentals,
as some too. Of the stuff is, rentals are fine. As a matter of fact, I think that they got rid of the worst part of the band. I think that the bassist, Matt Sharp, wasn't even that great. Now we're getting really nerdy, and I love it. Now we're getting like really geeky when it comes to this stuff. I mean, this is like Wallach talking about, you know, baseball prospectus from back in the day. Like,
now we're ranking bases, right?
Let's rank the Weezer bases, baby. Mikey only lasted for one on album three, but he sure did kick a little ass in the meantime. Oh, boy. So there's your 311 talk for the day. Congratulations. Thank you, David Pasternak. I appreciate
Thanks.
It. Somebody says, I'll tell you this, Limp Bizkit is way better than 311. Once again, Limp Bizkit sucks.
I saw Limp Bizkit live, though. They were incredible live.
They destroy live. It's just because it's a bunch of meatheads.
Didn't realize, like, Fred Durst is, like, legitimately 5'3" or 5'5". Like, he really is that tiny. Mm-hmm. I actually sat, like, in front of him, so I was like, that's all I could think of when I saw him. How small is this guy, and how much rage they do on stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, I almost started to feel bad for him after a while, the way people just completely flipped on them.
Yeah,
like,
poor Roll. After Roland, man, it just... Oof.
All right.
I mean, dude, that's the worst.
Keep on rolling, baby.
Yeah, you know what tab it is. Stop.
Yeah.
And you know what? There were actually decent bands that came out of that era that might have been considered, like, rap rock. Like, you know what? I never had a problem with Linkin Park. Matter of fact, Linkin Park's a pretty good band.
Yeah, they're decent.
Like, they're, that Hybrid Theory, that's another one that you put on, and you're like, these are good songs.
Yeah, but I hated P.O.D. or like anyone else tried to do rock rap, you know?
Well, no, it's not. Well, P.O.D. was like, you know, we're all about God, yo. We got God, yo. Now we got a record contract, yo. And then all of a sudden, God was, you know, they didn't sing about God anymore. And then it was just like, now we just want to get paid, yo. Like, there were so many bands that did that.
I mean, nobody could do it like Rage Against the Machine. Like, nobody could do it like them.
Oh, I mean, don't even put them in the
conversation. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone tried. I feel like Korn and Rage Against the Machine influenced so many people that it made music what it is today. Okay. Terrible.
So Rage went and influenced good bands. Korn influenced crap. I've always thought Korn was crap. Okay, but real quick, if you want
to
laugh.
We need to have John's thoughts on this. John, what are your feelings on
this? I think it's really important to not participate in a conversation that you can't participate in.
So we had Tom Morello in studio one time. He was promoting this thing called the Night Watchman. It was basically him on his own. And Tom Morello, by the way, obviously great guy. Fun to talk music with. He's a nerd like us. But the one thing about Tom Morello is that for him being the guitarist of Rage Against the Machine, this super serious, like political, we're going to riot, do all the one thing that you can actually bring up to him that makes him go, oh boy, is that when he was in studio, I had a CD that when I worked at a music store right before Rage broke, it was like they'd had it sitting around, and I was like, what is this? It was the band that he had before Rage Against the Machine, and they were called Lock Up. And you think, Lock Up, yeah. They were the corniest funk rock, like 1990, 91 band. And like the back of the, like they're standing in front of something that looks like the Parents Just Don't Understand background with like all these like funky swirls.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Like it's like, the songs are like, it's time to get funky. And it's like embarrassingly bad. And when you play it for him, he's like, oh boy. So yeah, Mr. Super Serious Night Watchman Tom Morello's got a little bit of a questionable past as far as that dude was just like raising against big hair with all of his friends. I mean, it was like really, really cheesy and embarrassing stuff. Like, a matter of fact, I would put 311 against Lock Up, and I would say 311 beats them in a bloodbath.
Wow.
I mean, Lock Up is cheese. So, God bless them. And there you go. There was your geek out moment between me, Joe Murray, and a very confused John Waller. Well, like your favorite Rage Against the Machine song.
We're going to do Vorp next break.
Yes, we will do Vorp.
What is your favorite Rage Against the Machine? Do you have one? No? Okay.
You know, I like
Freedom. That was kind of mine when it first came out.
You know what's weird? I didn't even like Rage Against the Machine like when they were popular. That's not even like a snooty thing. I thought they were kind of corny, which was weird. And now the more the years go on, the more I like them. Because I was kind of like into the Melvins and Neurosis and these bands that were like really serious and really heavy and EHG and Crowbar and stuff like that. So like Rage Against the Machine, I thought was like made for radio.
But it wasn't yet. Their first album, it really wasn't made for radio. That second album, it was a hit after hit after hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I feel like that way with Smashing Pumpkins too early on. Like,
dude, I still love the Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah. I love that band, and I know why people hate him, because Billy Corgan's a prick.
Hey, and now owns a wrestling league, I believe.
I think he does, and that's another weird thing about how much he loves wrestling. All right, we got a break. 617-779-0985. Here is Joe Murray's headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And hey, John Walk, you got a sponsor for this segment?
As you know, Rich, Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. And Rich, you being the movie guy that you are, did you see the latest news surrounding AMC?
I just saw the headline. So what's the deal?
The AMC, which is the world's biggest movie theater chain, said this morning it has substantial doubt that they can remain in business after closing locations across the globe during the coronavirus pandemic. There's a huge AMC theater right near where I live in Natick, right on Flutie Pass, right next to the big mall. Yep. I mean, AMC theaters are huge.
Yep.
Is that the one on the Common or not?
Yep. Yeah. That's
the one on the Common is AMC right near where you live. So
I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about going out of business in the next couple of months?
Well, so next month is going to be interesting because despite all of these major blockbuster films moving and going to next year, I know Fast and the Furious moved not only down the calendar, but they moved to next year. The Black Widow, big Marvel film, that was supposed to be, you know, in May and it ended up getting moved. But if you look at the month of July, there's a couple of big films that are holding on and holding hope against hope that people are going to be able to go and haven't moved yet. Namely, two big ones. Disney's Mulan, which that was going to do $1 zillion at the box office. And the fact that Disney, a company that big, that spent that much money on a movie like that, is still banking on people going to the theater next month is interesting. On top of that, Christopher Nolan, who is the director of The Dark Knight, you know, he did Inception. He's got this movie called Tenet coming out that he says wants to be the movie that gets people back to the theaters, because the way Christopher Nolan does things, and he's done this with Dunkirk and a bunch of other films, he wants them to be bigger than life, the type that you really want to see in IMAX. Inception was like that. I saw The Dark Knight in IMAX, and that was just astounding. And that's still on the schedule for next month. But I mean,
where are they going to put them? What movie theaters are they going to put them in?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know.
What about Showcase, right?
Showcase still around, Regal's still around. There's still a lot of places that could play it. But my question about all that is the future of when people are going to feel safe going back to the movies.
Well, I'll tell you guys this. There's a local theater near my way that they're actually letting you stream the movies. You pay for it. But the movies that they have in theater, you can stream it and watch.
Yeah, that's
maybe
like
that's
an art house,
the way for
right?
AMC, right? Like, why don't they try doing that?
No, they don't want that. As a matter of fact, I think AMC was one of the theater chains that got mad at Universal. Right. Because remember when they put out the Trolls movie and it was you know, online, and they were like, hey, you know what?
But that was straight to cable, though.
But the thing was, is they made a statement, I believe, afterwards that said, you know, since it's been so successful, we made so money on this direct-to-TV thing, you know, maybe we explore this with some of our other films coming out and do like a split between theaters and at home. And AMC went crazy. And they, as a matter of fact, they banned Universal Films. Universal. Like, that's not, I mean, but right behind Disney, they're probably the second biggest, I would think. I mean, they're the Fast and the Furious franchise. They're the, you know, the Minions and all that stuff. That's Universal. They ban their films. So I'm starting to wonder, you know, when and I know that if you look at the phases here in Boston as well, I don't think you like theaters will fully be able to get opened until the end of phase three. I think that there's actually in phase two, you can open smaller theaters because it has a smaller capacity. Like, I'm sure the theater by you that you're talking about, like if it's like an art house, something like that, I think that they're able to open near the end of phase two, but it's going to be until like the end of phase three. I think big movie theaters can't open until like nightclubs can open and concert venues. So, I mean, because they hold, some of these hold essentially the same amount of people as a big nightclub. So they're going to be screwed for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know even how confident people are going to be going back once that does happen. I mean, listen, there's these new theaters now where the seats are completely spaced out. Like, I think of that amazing Showcase Superlux that's over there in Chestnut Hill. Oh. If you've ever been there before, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to leave.
Fantastic.
But you're like, I mean, you have so much room between even you and the person next to you. So just think if they sold tickets to where you and everyone in your party get to sit next to each other, and then there's a space that they have to make for somebody else. Dude, that's plenty of room to social distance, if that's what you're worried about. So I don't know when you're going to feel confident going back. I don't know when I'm going to feel confident going back. But next month is bold for these theaters to roll out those movies and bank on them making money. I don't know. Who knows? But then again, I guess I'm paranoid about everything. But no, I just saw that. But I did also see that a bunch of movies that were put on hold, they started to film again. Like ones that, like Mission Impossible 7 is one that because of the coronavirus, they shut down filming of that. And now
outdoors,
they're back.
Right? They're filming outdoors now, right?
Yeah. So like some of the outdoor scenes they're going to do. Actually, they're not opening yet, but they're not filming yet, but they are planning on filming. It's almost like the NBA season.
After the summer's over. Yeah,
after the summer's over, they're doing that. So, I mean, you've got all that. I'll tell you what's going to be weird is on television, because next year the movies are going to rule. Because if the pandemic ends and everyone's going, like, you're going to have all the movies that you wanted to see this year and next year all crammed together. It's going to be fantastic. Like it's going to be a moviegoer's paradise. But television's going to be weird. Because think of how you're going to have 6 to 7 months of TV shows just not being produced. When does that all catch up, and when does that come to roost on TV? You know, like, when are you going to turn on TV and there's just going to be nothing new? And I would think that'd probably be the beginning of next year, right? That's when probably most of the stuff that was filmed, supposed to be filmed during the pandemic.
I don't know, it's supposed to be fall, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's from like September to December, doesn't it? Isn't that where it hurts the most?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I'm feeling it now a little bit. Like, well, I mean, I was on Netflix last night.
I don't know what your problem is. I'm watching Holy Moly. I'm watching Game On. I mean, I'm watching stuff. What's your problem?
Well, somebody said that if this virus is one thing, I hope it brings back the resurgence of the drive-in theater. I've always liked the drive-in theater. And I know that they're doing very well. I've seen the Andelmans all over TV.
Hey, the Miami Dolphins just opened up Pro Player Stadium and made it a massive drive-in, like 270 cars.
Well, Foxborough's doing that. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they just do Indiana Jones?
Is that right?
I don't know, not on the field, but I believe in the parking lot that they. I could be wrong, but I thought that they.
You know where they're going to do it. You know where they're going to do it in one place. Where is it, Joe? Where are they doing it?
Saugus, Massachusetts.
That's correct. In the parking lot of where?
Of the Kowloon.
That's correct, baby.
And you're going to be. Are you actually okay? Are you actually going to sit there and watch Grease?
Yes. Well, I'm going to drink.
Yeah, the Grease is for his wife.
Like, you don't understand. I love Grease. But
we go together. Come on, sing.
I can sing Beauty School Dropout. I did it years ago.
Okay, good. Yeah,
I can do the whatever, the Grease Lightning song and whatever you want. But no, I love Scorpion Bowl. Rich, you've seen me with a Scorpion Bowl, man. I love Scorpion Bowls.
Dude, they're good. They're good,
they're
man.
Just give me a giant one, I'll drink it all night.
Yeah.
I'm going to hate on you on that. I'll hold it
like a boombox on my shoulder and drink it with a straw.
I mean, like, we're going to have to wait even longer for Top Gun 2 now. I mean, but you're right. We're running out of stuff to watch, and there's all these movies that come out. I put it this way. I was really looking forward to Space Force, you know, the show that's got Steve Carell. It's the creators of The Office.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't good.
I turned it on Friday night, and I don't even know if it was good or if it was bad. I just know that I fell asleep by the end of
that's
it.
That's no good. Yeah, that's not an endorsement.
And I don't know if that, but all I know is that nobody's talking about it now. You know, like when a show becomes a phenomenon or like there's something that everybody, like the Tiger King, like blew up. Like everyone was talking about Tiger King. Even if it's a show that's just kind of like, you know, a stranger thing, whatever. Space Force had all the potential to be that. And no, now maybe it's because there's other things that people are talking about on social media, but I mean, even like every once in a while it would slip through, like nobody's talking. So I don't know if it's good. I just know that I watched the first episode and it was there and I'm kind of waiting. And if it's not good, I'm going to be really disappointed because there's way too much talent involved for it to not be good.
You know what's coming up? I mean, ESPN obviously killed it with The Last Dance. They had Lance Armstrong the last couple of weeks on Sunday. That really wasn't very good because Lance Armstrong's an ass and he didn't make himself look any better or change anybody's opinion of him after being an ass for the last 2 weeks. But the Bruce Lee documentary is this Sunday night.
It's Sunday, isn't it?
Bruce Lee is this Sunday night. And after that, there is, I think, it's a two-parter on the home run race between McGuire and Sosa.
So I think we're set up.
Now, for the next 3 weeks on Sunday night, they actually get some quality programming.
Underrated movie, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
No, that is good. I agree.
Underrated. That was an excellent one.
Yep.
Someone said Space Force was as bad as Cop Rock. Cop Rock was so bad that it was great. So I guess Space Force can't be that bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
But real quick, this is a show that I talked about and I watched last week. You know what I've done? I find myself watching the first 15 to 20 minutes of a bunch of like movies and then turning them off. Like I was on, I think, like Amazon Prime and I was flipping around. The other day I watched the first 15 minutes of a movie about these two guys who made it a quest that in 30 days they were going to go around the country and buy every original NES Nintendo game without using any help of the internet. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. And I watched it, and then I found that the two guys who were like the subjects of it were really boring dudes. I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. And then I watched the making of The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, because I guess, and I didn't realize this, like the director went crazy, and I was sitting there, and I was kind of falling asleep, and I'm like, I don't know, man, if the last image I want to see is of, you know, what's his name? Marlon Brando playing piano with, you know, Nelson De La Rosa, wasn't that, you know, I don't know if like and like the half man half animal things is what I want to fall asleep on. So I turned that off. And something else that I watched, because obviously I'm someone who looks for feel good stories, this is really, I don't know why I'm watching all this disturbing stuff, but there's a movie on Netflix called I Think We're Alone Now, And it
that's the Tiffany one. Yeah, I've been meaning to see that one.
Well, I'll play you this clip, and I'll let you guess whether or not. What? So, I mean, Tiffany was a negligible 80s star.
Yeah, she had that hit. A remake of a Beatles song, I Saw You Standing There. That was her other hit.
I Think We're Alone Now, and then she had, like, Could Have Been So Beautiful. I actually know three Tiffany songs, which is really sad. So, but she wasn't a huge star, but she kind of was an okay star. And that was in, like, 87, 88. And this movie is about two grown men who are obsessed with Tiffany today. And to the point where, while they're interviewing one of the guys, they just start panning around his home and everywhere. Like, it just, the camera keeps moving, and everywhere the camera goes, there are printed out photos from his printer tacked on his wall so that everywhere he looked in the house, there is a picture of Tiffany. I mean, it's terrifying, but here's a clip.
Tiffany and I have known each other most of her life, and we are in love with each other, and she's a great singer.
The difference between me and a stalker is they don't truly love the individual.
As a 16-year-old, she was forced to get a restraining order against Jeff Dean Turner. They have my whole name in there.
I might ask for a fingernail or a toenail, a lock of hair, or a scab, or a skin from a blister or something. I could ask for that. It's easy to have romance. It's just the young lady or the lady saying yes. That's yeah.
I mean,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I got about like 15 minutes into it, and that's another one that I went, okay, I'm going to turn this one off. Why am I doing this before I go to bed every night?
That's more pathetic and sad than anything else.
Well, it's terrifying. Now, the reason that I actually watched it, because usually I'd kind of be is that apparently Tiffany agreed to be in the movie and meet these guys. And I was like, what is she thinking? Like, after I see this startup, and I didn't get to the end of it, but I guess that, she talks to them, and it's really odd. And it gets you thinking. It's like, that's Tiffany. Imagine what someone like Taylor Swift is dealing with. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine what a real superstar is dealing with. And then we've seen, of course, what was the movie with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes, The Fan?
Yeah, right.
So there's probably like a lot of athletes that have to deal with that as well. I mean, if that's what Tiffany's dealing with, I can't even imagine what the other ones were. So there you go. That is a non-recommendation. That is like,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.